This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What is wrong with Apple?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Thursday, the 18th of April. And Apple stock is down again today after the company's shares fell 5% yesterday. They're down about 40% since last fall. Marketplace's Scott Tong explains what's going on.
Apple stocks hit investors on the head yesterday when a key supplier forecast gloomy earnings. In the last 7 months, Apple stock has underperformed gold and the Greek economy. James McQuivey at Forrester Research says the company has lost ground to competitors. Android phones have something called Google Now.
Google Now is constantly popping up information about where you are without you having to even go into the app or know that the app even exists. This kind of high-touch, context-aware mobile experience, that's where mobile devices are going, and Apple is not going there with them.
Google competes on the software side, and Samsung competes with fancy hardware. McQuivey links Apple's struggles to the loss of founder Steve Jobs. He died a year and a half ago and was known for driving innovation. There's talk that the iPhone and the company itself may have peaked. Still, Apple has loyal customers and a wad of cash. So could the company be oversold? Its earnings come out Tuesday. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today, Germany's parliament approved a $13 billion rescue package for Cyprus. The overwhelming yes vote came after a warning from Germany's finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, that if Cyprus is allowed to go bankrupt, other Eurozone countries could be at risk. The BBC's Steve Evans joins us from Berlin with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
It seems like every time we talk to you, Steve, about this bailout or that bailout, that you tell me that the German people just can't stand this anymore. They don't want to give up any more money. And yet every time they do.
That's absolutely right. You always think this is the one where they'll say no. But there's always this game of bluff, isn't there? There's always this game of who's going to jump off the line first. Every new bailout, the situation is if there is a banking collapse, banks in Northern Europe, German banks, will get badly burnt. So Mr. Schäuble goes along and says, well, we can't let this one happen. It's a small one. Therefore, we will come up with the money, but we're going to be tough. The real problem comes if, let's say, Italy starts falling apart, if the finances of Italy start falling apart and the markets start thinking, this one's not sustainable. Italian banks are going to be under real pressure. The Italian economy is clearly a serious business compared to the Cypriot economy, which is tiny.
Now, the reason that Germany is so important with a vote like this is that it is Europe's biggest economy. And I just want to ask, how are things going economically in Germany? Is it still doing well?
It's certainly doing well compared to the rest of Europe, not just the Eurozone. But having said all that, growth is going to be bumping along just above zero this year. And there is this debate, I think, a debate across the Atlantic over austerity.
Right.
And Mr. Schäuble and Chancellor Merkel believe very, very strongly that you do not borrow to spend. And so these belts are going to get tightened a lot more yet, I think.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Chinese consumers are starting to get very skeptical about the country's food supply, so they are buying American or European or anything but Chinese. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
When Yuri Velaza started a small imported food shop in Shanghai 8 years ago, his target consumers were not Chinese.
At the time, it was, I would say, almost 90% foreigners.
Not anymore. Thanks to a rising consumer class and a string of scandals that damaged the reputation of China's domestic food supply, nearly half of the business here at Velaza's shop comes from local Chinese. What are they buying?
We see a lot of fresh milk being bought a lot. Yogurts, especially anything that children usually tend to eat. So also baby foods.
A sales clerk feeds the day's catch through a money counter. Velaza's shop, Feidan, saw a 30% increase in revenue last year. Imported food is an $18 billion business in China, thanks to consumers like Zhang Qi, a 33-year-old lawyer who browses the aisles with his 3-year-old daughter.
With imported food, if a label says it's organic, I trust that. Food made in China, especially children's food, is often labeled organic, but it's easy to fake that. So we're sticking with imported food, organic or not.
And that's good news for American companies like Organic Valley, which started exporting milk to China 3 years ago. CEO George Seaman says his consumers in China aren't just looking for the organic seal.
You also have the USDA seal of quality control. So it really is a double premium that we're able to offer people.
And the premium for Organic Valley is China-sized revenue growth. After studying the market, the company estimates sales of its milk in China will go from $4 million today to $100 million in 5 years. Feidan customer Zhang Qi says all this new imported food may be a catalyst for change. He says it's sure to put more pressure on Chinese food companies to raise their standards. Or not. China's government is placing more and more restrictions on food from other countries. It's a move aimed to protect Chinese companies at the expense, says Zhang, of health-conscious consumers like him. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And you can hear more of Rob's reporting on China's food supply at marketplace.org. Also, go to iTunes and tell us what you think of this podcast. Leave a review. Tell us, do you like it? Do you not like it? Should it be different, longer, shorter? What? Just go to iTunes and let us know. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.